All right, everybody, this is Chase March, and I am very excited because tonight is the Brother Ali concert. Been a fan of this dude for a long time, and it's awesome to be sitting beside him right now. How you doing, Brother Ali?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be in Toronto.
Yeah, nice. So you've been touring a lot lately.
Yes.
So you've been all over the place. You were just in the UK, weren't you?
I just did a month in Europe. Prior to that, I did 2 months in the U.S. Now I'm doing another month split between Canada and the spots in the U.S. that I didn't get on my last tour. And then I go home for a couple weeks and go right back to Europe again. Get done with that, and we go to Australia. We come back for a couple months, or, you know, for a month or so, a couple weeks again. And then we go to the U.S. again and start all over again.
Wow. That must be really tough, because even from your lyrics, we can see that you've got a new baby girl, says on the new record. So how's that like being away from your family? Are you able to bring them with you sometimes? Or
I don't bring them with me that often. No, we every now and then we'll do a, you know, like I just had a show in Hawaii. We took my wife and children to Hawaii, and we just had one show, but we stayed there for a week and just had some good, you know, quality time together. It's difficult, man. It's, you know, everything in life is a balance. You know, you have to do everything in balance. So I'm having to balance between the two main things in my life that I love, that I wish I could dedicate 100% of my time to, but I just realistically can't. I would love to give all of my time to my music and just completely jump in head first, you know what I mean? Like people like Kanye and Questlove and guys like that, that they live their music 24 hours a day. That's all they do. I would love to do that. I would also love to be a stay-at-home dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the truth is that I can't do either one of those. You know, that, so I have to balance them. And when I'm home, I'm able to spend a lot of time with my kids and with my family. I either work while my kids are at school and then see them in the morning and at night, or I work all night when they're in bed and then see them in the morning and at night. But, you know, when I'm at home, all of their free time is me.
That's awesome. So when you're at home, you're home and you just get to spend time. That's great.
Yeah, and I still, you know, but also when I'm home, I have to make new music. Because otherwise, you know, new albums will never come, you know. So either while they're in bed or while they're at school, that's when I have to get my work done.
Nice. Yeah, I know last summer, like, the album for me was The Truth Is Here EP, even though it wasn't an album. I had that on blast the entire summer. And then when I saw your video for Us, I thought that was like a teaser for the album. That was like an amazing song. Like that almost brings tears to my eyes, that song, because it's so powerful.
Thank you.
And the video is pretty amazing, how you're working with like a choir and live instruments there.
Yeah.
And I really like the message of it too.
Thank you.
And the artwork for Us is amazing as well.
Yeah, the credit for that goes to Sadiq, who runs Rhymesayers. You know, I switched that on him at the last minute. It was, the name of the album was going to be Street Preacher. I turned the album in and it was done, and we did a photo shoot. We actually did a couple photo shoots for the Street Preacher title. He actually came to me and said, "Do you think that there's something not quite right about this album?" I said, "Yeah, but it's not the music. I know it's not the music." He said, "What? Do you think it might be the title?" I said, "Yeah, it definitely is." I changed the title to Us, and he came up with the idea to do Silhouettes. And he passed it on to an artist by the name of Keith Washington, who actually pulled it all together. And he did a great job, man.
Yeah, I love how... I actually... I'm a teacher.
Okay.
And I do this thing where I have the students respond to an image. And I put that album cover up once because I wanted them to talk about the teamwork and the way it looks like the silhouettes are working together with triangles to build the word Us in the middle of the air. And it was interesting, some of the response I got from that. They were able to pick that up. And then I showed them your Us video. And we played it over and over again that one morning in my grade 3 class. They were feeling
really
that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's really, really cool.
One of my favorite tracks in this album is Fresh Air.
Okay.
I think I want to drop that track right now and then come back and talk to you some more.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is Fresh Air from Brother Ali off his excellent album, Us. If you don't have that, go get it. Like, I ran to the store when this album came out, and I haven't done that in a long time.
Mm.
But I needed that because the album's awesome. The artwork's really good. And this is my favorite track off it, Fresh Air. This is Chase March. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch that ever lived. I spend life doing shit I love. Got the world's most beautiful kids. And don't nobody do it like us. Sunday morning, play Al Green. Make pancakes and watch cartoons. Sometimes get to change that scene. Catch a plane and see somewhere new. Just got married last year. Treated so good that it ain't even fair. Already got a boy, now the baby girl's here. Bought us a house like the Bernstein Bears. Not 2 years ago, I was homeless. I mean, crashing on the couch of my homies. Now I'm crashing on the couch with Conan. Signed a mortgage and bought my own shit. Should have seen when they handed me the keys. I still couldn't believe that it was mine. Like, baby, hurry up, let's leave. For these damn people change their mind. And shit, what can I say? I would have made these damn songs anyway. Some of y'all still listen to them any day. Beautiful thing, I bow my head and pray.
I love the life I live. My laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it is. I love the life I live. My laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it is.
Shop Purple Rain, advertise my name and it's sold out. I'm surrounded by greatness. My loved ones are amazing. Sometimes I look in their faces and just think of the lives they're changing. And I don't just mean rhyme sayers. My son's grandmother quit freebasing. Desiree got 8 years straight. Now that right there calls for celebration. I'm so happy for her. We used to fight like cats and dogs, but she ain't even mad that I left the daughter. She calls me a son, so that's my mama.
I love the life I live, my laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it tears. I love the life I live, my laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it tears.
Life, I had this music. My heroes have all saluted. I don't need y'all to like my new shit. Them dudes are the reason I do this. I done did so much cool shit. Lived a lifetime in the last 2 years. Got the memories to prove it. Look what a dude who ain't even graduate high school did. Ha. Used to always be the new kid. Laughed at cause I never used to pull chicks. Now I turn down more girls than them rich ass pretty football playing fools get. Sometimes I smile so wide. I think about the dreams that I've lived. Shit, even if I die tonight, y'all, I'm the luckiest son bitch that ever lived.
I love the life I live, my laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it tears. I love the life I live, my laughter and my tears. I don't know where it's going, but I like it tears.
Yeah. Celebrate ya, celebrate ya, celebrate ya. Take it low, take it low, take it low.
They can't find it.
Yeah.
That was Fresh Air from Brother Ali, and we're sitting with Brother Ali. How's it going?
Doing great, man.
Cool. Yeah, I love the positivity in that song, you know? I mean, not often do you hear rappers rapping about how much they love their life. Usually it's like, I love my car, or I love my women, but you're talking about how you love your life.
Well, you know, I think they're all parts of the same thing. Like, what I'm saying is something is really similar to what some other rappers are saying. You know, the symbols are different. You know what I mean? So for some people, their car is a symbol of them loving what they've achieved in their life. You know what I mean? For me, it's more about my family and things like that. You know, if you come from the desert, You know, you get one group that comes from the desert, another group that comes from the rainforest. The priorities are different because of what's available to them. You know, and so people that come from, you know, the projects or the slum, and they're not supposed to ever be able to achieve a certain level of material success, which also translates to a certain level of freedom, you know, then that car is a symbol of what they, of the obstacles they overcame. It's not the actual car, it's what it represents in the situation, you know what I mean? My situation is a little different than a Lil Wayne or a Jay-Z, you know what I mean? So I'm able to, I have the opportunity to speak about it a little differently, you know what I mean? There's a different way that you just need to conduct yourself also when you come from that environment. You know, you can't be free and open and just jovial and happy because somebody will rob you. That literally, like, you need to put out an image where you're celebrating, but you also need to remind people, you know, that you're not to be played around with. You know, so it really has a lot more to do with the different circumstances we come from. But I think that a song like Fresh Air isn't that much different from some of the stuff that Kanye West does or Jay-Z or T.I. or, you know, it's a really similar sentiment that you work hard to achieve these things that you want for yourself and you overcome your obstacles that are in your way. And then when you're able to do that through your hard work and diligence and patience, that you, you know, you celebrate it.
Yeah, it's a really positive message in all your lyrics, and I can understand why a fan called you a street preacher and why that was the working title of your album for a long time, but the truth is you don't really preach.
Not in the sense that people understand the word now. The true sense of preaching means that you're so touched and inspired and appreciative by some truth or some message that's helped you that you want other people to share. You want to share it with the world. That's what true preaching is. Preaching has come to take on a negative connotation because, you know, now we have so many examples of preachers that are hypocrites or preachers that are doing it for selfish reasons, you know, that now that's what preaching has come to be known as. And it's unfortunate, but true preaching is what I was talking about.
Nice. Yeah, because, you know, some rappers, they want to be all positive and things, and they just come off as too preachy. Is what some people say. Oh, I don't want to listen to him. He's too preachy.
Well, there's a difference between sharing and you know, true love and true sharing is selfless. You know what I mean? What you gain from it is seeing other people benefit. That's it. You don't need somebody to say, look at him. You know what I mean? The message doesn't come with this idea of never forgot that I'm the one that gave you this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people get it confused, you know. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% pure myself, you know. But that's why I make songs also that are about the negative side of me. That's what I do to keep myself honest. Songs like Bad Motherfucker Part 2. Songs like, you know, every one of my albums has them. Talking my shit. Pedigree. You know, Champion has their first Bad Motherfucker. Shadows on the Sun album has songs like Bitch Slap. You know.
Yeah.
All of my projects have one song where I'm honest about that part of myself, just so that I'm being completely real.
Nice. So how do you go about your songwriting process? Do you work with, like, certain producers, or do you write to the beat, or do you just, like, write and then fit stuff to it later?
All of my albums are produced by Ant, except for my demo tape called Rites of Passage. I did the beats on that one, but Ant has done everything that I've done up till now. And I sit in his basement. He makes a lot of music. He makes very rough, skeletal versions of music. And I go in and sit with him and listen to what he's got. And then when something moves me, you know, we concentrate on that one, and he'll play it, or, you know, repeat it over and over again, and I sit there and write the song to it. So he makes the music, I make the words, and then we work together to marry them and make them a song.
Nice. Yeah, I've noticed you have quite the online presence. You seem to be everywhere online. You're active on Twitter, and you've got a lot of video blogs. Mm-hmm. And so that's really cool to see that you're doing a lot of that interaction. And you even have, like, little video conferences, I don't know what you call them.
Yeah, the live broadcast that we do. The newest one that we did actually is on the front of BrotherAli.com right now. It was a really great discussion that has been kind of living inside me where people were telling me that they love me because they hate Lil Wayne. You know what I mean? Lil Wayne is the new rapper that, like, if you're new to rap and you've discovered one part of it that you like and you believe that you're an expert on hip-hop, that, like, Lil Wayne is the guy to diss. You know what I mean? And I kind of took exception to people saying, judging his music. I understand if it's not for you. I understand if it's not what you like or you're not able to relate to it. But to judge it and say that it's not creative or it's not good music because it doesn't speak to you personally. You know, I got into an hour-long discussion about that topic. So if you go to BrotherAli.com right now, you can see that rerun. It's archived and you can watch it.
Yeah, I like what you said on Twitter too, because Easter just passed, and there I noticed a lot of people like were, you know, kind of spamming Easter and trying to disrespect the tradition and people's beliefs. And I actually retweeted something you put up there. You wrote like, celebrate it or don't, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk bad about it. So that's kind of the same way. I mean, a lot of us, like, you know, that are into underground hip hop want to just blast people and say, oh, this sucks and don't listen to this. And but, you know, we maybe have to respect what other people are.
I think we just have to be. I think we have to be careful to not become what we think we're rebelling against, or become the yin to that yang. And I think, like, when I was young, I definitely did that. You know what I mean? Everything that I, you know, I was rebelling against something because I thought it was wrong, and, you know. And I ended up just being the opposite version of that. You know what I mean? And I think that's such an easy mistake to make. But, you know, if you look at, you know, on both sides of every issue, there's people who become very extreme because they're trying to counteract the extremists on the other side. But extremes are extremes, you know. And so, yeah, try to just find that balance and just stick to the truth. Just stick to the truth that I'm what's important to me.
Yeah, that's cool. I think every now and then we should actually try to step outside of our comfort zone. So, like, every now and then, you know, visit a MySpace page that you wouldn't normally go to, or read a book that you wouldn't normally read.
To a person that you normally wouldn't talk to. You know what I mean? In my mind, that's what I hope my music could be. You know, in my little fantasy of what I'm doing in music, that's what it is. Is that I've had a chance to be up close and personal with people from so many different walks of life, that I'm hoping on this album that just came out, Us, I'm hoping to tell these different stories in a way that somebody who might not know these people, you know, but feels like they relate to me, can hear the humanity and hear themselves in other people's situations, you know. In my mind, I really view that as being what my role is in music.
Yeah,
because of the experiences I've been blessed to have.
That's really relevant in your music. I mean, there's several times where you actually say in your lyrics, you know, you can tell a story through me, or, you know, so it's not even about you. And so many rappers, it's all about them. It's almost always about them. And with your lyrics, it seems to be about us, you know. It's like about everybody. You're like, I don't know, spreading the love or something. It's just hard to say, but I find your music really inspiring that way.
And I mean, that's something that I have the opportunity to do because I'm so supported. Like, Shadows on the Sun was all about me. All my first albums were all about me. You know what I mean? But even those are bigger than just being about you. You know what I mean? For a guy like a Jay-Z, his music's about him. And to the outsider, it might sound like he's bragging. But he represents a lot of people who will never have the opportunity to be seen or heard. So, you know what I mean? When he says, you know, I'm Jay-Z, I'm from Marcy Projects, and I'm the best at what I do. I mean, people in projects all over the world, all over the, you know, in slums all over the world, feel like there's somebody that represents them that the world recognizes being the best at something. You know what I mean? When, you know, you're put in a ghetto, or you're put in a slum, or you're put in a project for the purpose of ignoring you, you know what I mean? That's what they're for. That's what a project is for. We take all the poor people, primarily people of color, put them all in this little situation so that we have them all in one place and can ignore them. You know, and so when you got these people that raise up and say, I'm the best, in a literal sense, they're saying that, but what it symbolizes is much bigger than that, you know. Mm. So I'm really happy that people appreciate what I'm doing, but I'm not interested in being part of the criticism of the rest of rap. I love rap. I love hip hop. It gave me so much of what I am, and I'm not interested in being a tool to critique the rest of it. You know what I mean? I'm not comfortable phrasing it that way.
No, I understand what you're saying. So we don't have to hold you up as like, you know, like this is what hip hop is, and you
but
know,
I am the but, best.
I think you are. You're one of my favorite MCs.
I'm the
right
best
now.
Brother Ali has ever been.
Yeah, that's good. But Us is definitely, that was definitely my favorite album of last year for sure.
Thank you. That means so much to me as you say that.
Yeah. I want to play a track now off of your Truth Is Here EP. I want to play Good Lord and then touch on some of that lyrics as soon as we get to hear it.
Cool.
All right, so this is Good Lord from Brother Ali. This is Chase March. Gamma Crush is here monitoring the boards. We'll be right back after he spins this track.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Best believe the Quran influenced all of my songs. My fans running tattoo them all on their arms. Wanna travel, be there every time I perform. Now look me in my eye and tell me how am I wrong. And who would've thought, just giving them the truth from my heart. Both the ugly and the beautiful part. We give them food for thought, let them chew it apart. And they'd all crowd around me and my movement would start. And how you gon' hate me for being what God made me? It's not a game, I ain't saying it playfully. They relate to the joy and the pain in me and seeing me make it. Be watching a slave get free. Holler like Bilal in the tower. Hiya Elif, Bilal, Allah is the power. Give a voice to the dream and let it be seen. Hot minutes obscene, but Dean recognized Dean. So it isn't pristine when I spit a 16. Clean words don't describe the that I've seen. But laying in the alley, I whisper the Shahada. Bullets fly by from the drive-by. So Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber work it out on the linoleum. Chappelle bust bunnies, most deaf bust rhymes. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Something spiritual happen when them hands get to clapping. Can you tell me what language do you laugh in? The human reaction of smiles and cries. What language are the tears when they falling from your eyes? You've probably seen the sunrise hundreds of times. But let a painter paint it or a poet describe the very moment where heaven and earth might collide. And God let the breath of life come outside. Satan doubted it, angels bow to it. I'm so beautifully human that I'm proud of it. Soul of a soldier, heart of a scholar. I wrote this poem with the blood of a martyr. Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber work it out on the linoleum. Chappelle bust funnies, most deaf bust rhymes. And Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself. I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
That was Good Lord. Nice track there, Brother Ali. I want to touch on some of the lyrics in there. You got some really positive lyrics in there. And one of them is, how are you going to hate me for being what God made me? Mm. And a lot of your songs, you talk about, you know, your spirituality, and that seems really important to you. But one of the things that really struck me in this one, too, is talking about differences, because, you know, some people might be scared at, you know, Brother Ali and at Islam or things like that. Mm. And because we don't understand it, and some people don't understand other languages, and there's kind of fear around there.
Yeah.
But one of your lyrics is, you know, it just echoed with me. What language do you laugh in? Mm. Like, that brings it all together right there, doesn't it? Because pretty much every laugh is the same, and, you know, there's no language of laughter.
Yeah.
And then you go further in there and you say, what language are the tears when they're falling from your eyes?
Yeah. And it's interesting, I actually said that wrong in the studio. The way I wrote it is, what language do you laugh in? And then it was supposed to say, what religion are the tears? That's what I meant to say. But I just got in the studio and said it wrong, and Ant doesn't really listen to my lyrics, so he didn't catch it, you know what I mean? He listens to the mood of what I'm saying. But, yeah, I mean, that song is addressing both sides of an issue, where I have a lot of Muslims that criticize me for either making music at all or for how real and raw I am in my music. Like I mentioned earlier, I have songs where I need to show you that I'm not just all the way around a great, nice person, that I'm also a jerk. Because otherwise, you know, I want you to be able to believe every part of it. So, you know, there are Muslims that say, well, I like these songs, but I don't like those songs, you know. Or, you know, like I said, some people don't think it's appropriate for me to be making hip-hop music at all. And then on the other side, there are people that, you know, like I said, rebel so hard against anything, any type of institutional anything. You know what I mean? They hate institutions, and they hate power. And so they don't want to hear anything about any religion, because in their mind that represents somebody trying to tell them what to do. I'm kind of in between both of those sides, and what I'm saying to both of them is that in its purest form, these things are really the same. Music, spirituality, these are all the human beings' innermost core, what we call in spirituality the soul, or the energy that lives inside us, trying to connect with the energy that's in other people and in the world. It's all really this music, prayer, meditation, you know, celebrating. All of these things all come from the same place within us. The hunger, the thing that makes a person want to come to a concert and clap and experience this feeling with everybody else, is the same thing that makes my uncle go to church on Sunday. It's the same thing that makes me go to the mosque on Friday. You know, it's all the same thing of wanting to connect with something bigger and positive outside of ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's what the creative process is about, ideally as well. I think everyone needs an avenue to be able to create.
I agree.
Yeah, and you said let a painter paint it, or a poet describe it. So you're even talking about that in this song that we just heard too. So I think everybody needs some kind of outlet, whether we're producing segments for the radio here or blogging or whatever you do.
There are garbage collectors that express themselves through what they do. You know what I mean? I mean, there are, there are people that what we all think would be very mundane jobs, but they take a certain pride in what they're doing, and it says something about who they are as a woman or as a man or as a person. You know, there are people that express themselves in the way that they raise their children, people that express themselves in the way that they do everything, you know. I agree with you 100%.
Definitely. Yeah, another lyric in that song, I'm so beautifully human and I'm proud of it. Soul of a soldier, heart of a scholar. So I just like the positivity there. It just brings everything together.
And I think that's the main reason why people like me or like my music. It's because I think that, like, I'm pretty good at rapping, and the music I make is pretty good. But you know, maybe not necessarily better than anybody else at those things. But I think the thing that people get from me in particular is that they see how different I am, but how comfortable I am. You know what I mean? That I'm so comfortable that it makes them comfortable. Like, you can be around somebody that's so nervous that they make you nervous. Mm-hmm. But I think that people register that I'm so comfortable and enthusiastic about, you know, just being who I am, that it makes them feel that way, you know, and I think people come away feeling better about themselves and the challenges that they have to face and what's unique about them.
Nice. Yeah, I've noticed you've been popping up on a lot of different records here and there.
A little bit.
Yeah, you've been getting guest appearances and things like that. So is there anybody you haven't worked with yet that you would really like the opportunity to?
The person I want to work with more than anybody, there's three of them, and I'll give them to you in order of how bad I want to do it. I want to work with Questlove more than anything in the world.
Nice.
I want to do a project with Questlove because I think that we would make something that's never been made before in any kind of music, but especially within rap. We would make something truly incredible. And he's very busy, and he's got much better things to do at this time. But that in my heart of hearts, that's what I would like. I would like to do something with Cat Stevens. Right. His name is Yusuf now. I think that would be really beautiful. And Johnny Winter.
I'm not familiar with Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winter is an albino guy from down south, from Texas, who studied the blues and fell in love with the blues and became one of the great blues guitarists and singers. And he was from a generation younger than, you know, the guys considered the golden era guys like Son House and Muddy Waters and Robert Johnson and these men. But they actually embraced him. And he ended up producing some of Muddy Waters' later albums and touring together and things like that. And he's still out here performing, and he's really incredible. And me and him just have so much in common. That really, I don't ever have to really ever make anything with him. I more so just want to meet him and talk with him and learn from him.
Awesome. Very cool. Have you ever ghostwritten?
Yes. I ghostwrote a song called Original Prince for my son, who was 6 years old at the time. And it's on it's on me and BK1's mix CD called Off the Record. And then if you look on the internet, there's a battle that MTV filmed and aired where my son Fahim is battling my big brother Slug from Atmosphere. And legend has it that I might have had something to do with the verses that he says against my friend Slug.
Oh yeah? Oh, that's awesome.
But I would like to do it. I would really like to do it. And you know, there's been times where I thought about asking Slug to write something for me. I would do something that he wrote for me. But one of the things that I love most about rap and you know, hip-hop is that, you know, the writing is a part of it, is an integral part of it. So it's not just to say, well, how well can you say this rhyme, but the mind that wrote that, along with the voice that's saying it and the persona and all that stuff. It's a very special, powerful thing that we have within hip-hop. And you can communicate more with hip-hop, maybe in some ways, than you can in any other genre of music.
Yeah, I think so too. I think hip-hop can almost say a lot more than a lot of different genres because, you know, pop radio seems to be love songs all the time. Mm. Maybe country, they can tell different kind of stories, but I think hip-hop does have more latitude there when it comes to content.
Well, the thing about hip-hop is that it's a music based on incorporating other genres of music. So musically, every type of music is in hip-hop. Country's in hip-hop, blues are in hip-hop, jazz is in hip-hop, funk is in hip-hop, soul, Latin music, African music. You know, everything is in hip-hop, musically. And then if you write out the lyrics to a hip-hop song, it's 3 pages long, whereas, you know, the average pop song is, you could write it on one napkin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, there's a case to be made on the other end, too, that when words are gone, like in jazz music, there's a case to be made that within jazz music, the way that the horn sounds or, you know, the choices that are made there communicate on a more profound plane. You know, so you can make the case either way. But when you're just talking about lyricism and verbally communicating, no type of music beats hip-hop.
I think so too. One of the interesting discussions I've had on my blog, and I have like about 100 comments on this post, that's rap is not music. And I wrote that post in response to a discussion I had, because I'm a teacher, with another teacher that told me that rap music is an oxymoronic term because rap isn't music. And what do you have to say on that topic?
Every great form of music started with people who didn't relate to it and didn't understand it, calling it, saying it wasn't music. Every great form of music. You know what I mean? They said jazz wasn't music, and jazz is actually the most innovative and creative music ever in the history of the world. You know, they said the blues wasn't music. They said rock and roll wasn't music. I guarantee whoever said that, whatever music they think they love, because you don't say something like that unless you have a disconnect from what music is. You know what I mean? But whatever music they think they love, the most authentic form of it was called not music.
That's cool, because I mean, I don't think we actually think about that, like, because, you know, Elvis and the Beatles, everyone, you know, say, oh, and jazz and stuff, and people are still saying the Beatles are amazing, but when the Beatles came out, they were controversial, and people were kind of, you know.
And I mean, if you even look at what music were the Beatles emulating, you know what I mean, what music was Elvis emulating, and in some cases, stealing. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Soul music,
yeah.
Blues.
Yeah. I mean, all those guys were really inspired by blues. And the artists themselves revered the blues and loved the blues and were so inspired by it. You know, the great ones were. You know, then you got guys that were just stealing it and living it up. Like, really loving the fact that you could steal black music and just redo it. And based on the fact that you were white people would love it and support you and call you great. But, you know, you had great people like Elvis and like the Beatles in particular. That, like, you know, they were just inspired by it and they wanted to add to it and they just wanted to participate, you know. But yeah, the Beatles were called not music, but people definitely weren't respecting Muddy Waters and Robert Johnson and Son House and, you know, Howlin' Wolf and the people that they were inspired by. So, you know, you just can't spend a lot of time worrying about people that don't understand what you're doing.
Yeah, because I think one of the major understandings of it, misunderstanding, is people say, well, there's no melody to rap. But I argue that flow is kind of melody. And, I mean, rappers aren't monotone. You know, your voice is still going up and down. And there's
a variety. I mean, there's a variety. And you know, you could definitely say that some hip-hop doesn't have much musical value. You know what I mean? In particular, a lot of underground hip-hop doesn't have much musical value. In my mind, you know what I mean? Like, I think that Ludacris has a lot more musical value than a half a dozen underground superstars that I can name. You know what I mean? But, you know, these are people that don't understand what they're hearing. And, you know, all you can do is wish that their lives would be enriched by this beautiful thing. You know, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a lot of, they get joy out of a lot of things that it would take me, I would have difficulty finding joy in too.
Yeah, definitely. So you're touring like crazy, and I always like to ask this question to people that are on long tours. What are you reading right now? Did you bring a book on tour with you?
You know, it's tough for me to read on tour. It's tough for me to read in general because I'm legally blind, so I read really slow. My eyes move really slow, and I think my brain is fast. So my brain gets really frustrated with my eyes when I try to sit down and read something. And when I'm on the road, it's damn near impossible. But I do books on tape, and I listen to speeches, and I listen to, you know, talk show kind of things, you know, like, you know, Tavis Smiley, Bill Maher, NPR, National Public Radio, things like that. And then... But, you know, tour is the time where I get to actually really sit and digest music. You know, there's a difference between listening to music for the surface value of it and then really trying to live with something and completely digest what somebody's saying, you know. So Erykah Badu put a brand new album out, and, you know, because I'm away from my family and, you know, things like that, I get to actually sit down and really digest it. And really listen to, because, you know, she's a true artist. So I get to, you have to think about things that you normally wouldn't think about when you listen to other music. You know, you think about, well, like, why did the snare drum all of a sudden change sounds right there? And what does that mean? And why does she do it that way? And what's she trying to communicate to me with that? You know, that's what I do on tour that I don't get to do normally.
Interesting. Yeah, cause the other interesting thing is on your Truth Is Here EP, I forget what song it is. It might be the first one where you actually say, you know, if I wake up in a bed that's mine, I'm disoriented. It's like I'm more used to being on the road than I am at home.
No, that's very, that there are years of our lives where that's really is true. Where I, you know, and I don't think that's something that I say on a new song that I just made too. Wake up in your own bed and don't know where you are. I don't think people that haven't experienced that can really comprehend what a sacrifice that is. You know, that to have your own space, but to not be at home there. To wake up in your first, to say, well, why isn't this a hotel? You know what I mean? Or I have a thing where, I'm married and I try to be very faithful to my wife. So I wake up sometimes at home and I will freak out. Like, why is there a woman in bed with me? You know what I mean? And there's been times where I have to get up and go in the bathroom. I mean, I've woke up in my bed with my wife and say, well, oh, man, oh, my God, what did I do? And go into the bathroom and say, oh, man, I have these same things in my bathroom. You know what I mean? I'd be awake for 5 minutes before I realize it's okay, you're at your house. You know what I mean? If you haven't experienced that, I don't think you really can appreciate how unnerving that is.
Wow, that's
it's very true, though.
That's something for the fans to really think about, because I'm always saying this on the air as often as I can. If there's an artist that you respect that's coming to town, go to their concerts, because that's how we. I mean, you probably make more money in concerts than you do in album sales.
Well, yeah, because people don't buy the album. If people bought the album, that situation would be remedied right away. But, you know, downloading is what it is. And matter of fact, on brotherali.com, on a very old post, one of the first posts I made on there, I did a 10-minute little conversation about that video about downloading. But, yeah, I mean, and really what it comes down to is not to say, well, you owe us money, but to say, because the reality of it is, we would like for you to get the real experience. We would like this music to, if it means something to you, to really be part of your life in a significant way. And so when you buy the music and you own it, and we're seeing a resurgence in vinyl sales, because I think people are dissatisfied and unfulfilled with having an MP3 that lives on your phone or lives in your computer or something, and actually want to own something that you can hold and that you have a collection that lives in your home.
That's exactly true, because I was just speaking to DJ producer Lucy Lowe from Toronto here, and he said the same thing. He's like, what do you own when you own an MP3? It's yeah. like this invisible thing that, you yeah. know, you can't do anything with other than listen to, and, you know, it's really just on your computer, and what happens if your computer dies? It's gone, right?
So yeah, and I had a computer stolen from me, and I lost a lot of really important treasures that I thought I owned. Like I had a lot of old tapes, old recordings, homemade recordings from, you know, my heroes in hip hop shows, that, you know, live shows, the Treacherous 3 live in 1982.
Oh wow.
Like, you know what I mean? And my computer got stolen and that stuff is just gone. Hopefully I get it again, but who knows?
That's a shame.
Stolen out of your home?
No, I was stolen at a show. That same song that you referenced, somebody made away with my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody stole my computer out of a club in San Francisco. And all of my demos, I had demos for everything that I had ever done. The homemade, demos that me and Ant made. All of it just gone. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a shame. Because yeah. I know a lot of people want to get a hold of your first tape. And I think you've said that there's no way you're going to get that anymore. I think you've actually said that on a video blog or something.
Yeah, I mean, initially I was concerned that I didn't want people to buy The Undisputed Truth or buy us or buy Shadows on the Sun and say, oh, I like this music. Let me go buy this guy's other stuff. Because I'm comfortable with the fact that if you spend the $9 or $12 or whatever it is to buy my music, I feel confident about what you get in return. Rites of Passage was a demo tape, and that was me as a local rapper. That was when I was local. I was thinking very local. I was writing as a local rapper. And as a local tape in the year 2000 that it came out, it was damn good. You know what I mean? I made it all myself. It's all my own vision and all my own work. And for what it was, I felt good about it. But people not understanding that, I don't want them to buy that, thinking they're going to get something on the level of Shadows on the Sun or Undisputed Truth or Us, and they end up with something very different. That was my initial concern. Now, I just like the fact that I have something that it's hard to find.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it like that. Because, you know, if you really want it, you can find it online, or you know, you can download it, or there's people that sell the... There was 1,000 tapes that we made in 2000, and that was it. And I didn't even have one for a long time. My DJ, BK1, gave me one, because he had a few of them. And then when the Champion EP came out, we made 1,000 CD copies for people who bought that EP. So there's 1,000 tapes, 1,000 CDs. If you look around on eBay, sometimes people sell them. If you look around on, you know, whatever illegal download program you use, people have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so easy to find stuff these days.
Or if you do something extremely nice for me, I might send you a zip file of it. I've done that too. I send people a zip file of it that do something
that's cool.
Above and beyond.
That's cool. All right, so we played a track off of a couple different things. I wanted to play one off of Shadows on the Sun. Mm. I want to play Room with a View, because I really like that one. Cool. Unless you wanted to play a specific song, because you've got some newer stuff out.
I love that. That song means a lot to me.
All right, we're going to drop that one, and we'll be back to talk with more with Brother Ali. This is Chase March. Gamma Crush is going to spin that track. We'll be right back.
I guess it's nowhere different from anywhere else in the world, man. I look out my window, I see the whole thing. One side of the street is Malone's funeral home, and the other side, the library. Try very hard to picture this shit. Walk through where I live at, where parents are embarrassed to tell you they raised their kids at. You need some half and half of an eight ball, you can get that. Fuck with little Rodney and you get all of your ribs cracked. In a location where slang crack rock, it's not seen as a fucking recreation, but a vocation. And the sellers and the smokers are both pacing. Got one eye on Minneapolis PT, they both racing. 3 for 50 is the supply and demand in the Twin Cities, American heartland. And they've been busy, masterminds tearing apart plans. And hoop dreamers balling with blisters on their hands, with chains dangling from the rims. Pain strangles them from within, till a belt around the arm makes the veins stand at attention. Try to block it out with a bedsheet that moonlights as a curtain, cause I'm not comforted by red and blue lights when I'm hurting. Mommy loves you, yeah I knew, but I wasn't certain, cause the lenses through which she views life wasn't working. As a boy she told me, wait till your father to come home. I'm 24, still waiting for my father to come home. And some parents only touch their children when the whip's brought. That's why bad kids do bad shit, just so they can get caught and get touched. This growing up shit's rough, that's a big part of why we're so mixed up. Shit, we don't have bar mitzvahs, we become come in the first time my father hits us, and we don't open gifts up. Sister Regina from across the street is beautiful, but for 50 bucks ain't nothing she won't do to you. Used to be premium pussy, now she used up. For that same 50 bucks she gotta do some new stuff, whatever it takes to make you pull the dollars out. If you don't intervene, then there's a day she'll turn her daughter out. Speaking to kids, I'm fixing lunch for my firstborn. I had the windows wide open cause the weather's warm. That's when the greatest hits of Donny Hathaway got interrupted by a drive-by shooting half a block away. Fahim was in the window, he didn't get hit though. Oh, please do Allah, I see all this from the desk that I write my rhymes from. Pen starts to scribble on its own, my mind's numb. But you could call me modern urban Norman Rockwell. I paint a picture of the spot well. I see all this from the desk that I write my rhymes from. Pen starts to scribble on its own, my mind's numb. But you could call me modern urban Norman Rockwell. I paint a picture of the spot well. I see all this from the desk that I write my rhymes from. Pen starts to scribble on its own, my mind's numb. But you could call me modern urban Norman Rockwell. I paint a picture of the spot well.
Outside my window. Outside my window. Outside my window.
right, that was Room with the View from Brother Ali, and we're sitting here with Brother Ali, Gamma Crush, and I, and he's going to be going on stage a little bit later. But that's a nice song right there. And I'm a writer, and I like how that song deals with the writing process. And in a little bit, it says, I see all this from the desk that I write my rhymes from. Pen starts to scribble on its own. My mind's numb. So your pen's scribbling on your own.
It's funny because I actually wrote that song in my head. I didn't actually write that song down. Like, that's a time when I first met Ant. That's me and Ant's first song we ever made together.
Really?
Yeah. And I used to, you know, I can't drive. Like, part of being albino is I'm legally blind. I can't drive a car, so I take the bus everywhere and things like that. So I was, you know, going to and from my different jobs and stuff like that. And I wrote that song, just kind of made it up in my head and memorized it as I was coming up with new lines. And took it over to Ant's house. And he had that music, and it just worked. And we made that song in maybe 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how we started our work together. And he's produced everything I've ever done since then.
Well, that's amazing how lyrics and ideas can just seemingly come out of the blue, right? Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing where that comes from. Yeah. That's pretty interesting that you can write in your head, too, because I'm a writer, but I can't do that. Like, I know Jay-Z says he can do that.
Well, Jay-Z does that. And at the time, when I was doing that, that was 2001 and 2 that I was doing those songs. And that wasn't a popular thing yet. You know what I mean? You know, it was rumored that Biggie used to do that. You know, and Jay-Z used to do it. I think a lot of people have written songs in their head. So now it's become a style of writing hip-hop lyrics. But what most people do, what Lil Wayne does, what my friend Freeway does, is that they go in, they hear the music, they get a couple lines, they walk in the recording booth, they record those lines, they stop, they think of a couple more lines, they record those. So you're still writing, you're not actually writing it down on the paper. But, you know, when you normally would think of a passage and then write it down, you think of a passage and then say it. You know what I mean? And passage by passage, you piece a song together.
Yeah.
Which is a style of writing. What Jay-Z does, and I've never been there to see it, you know, I've known people that have been there to see it. You know, Ninth Wonder, who worked with Jay-Z, said, and Just Blaze has said, and a lot, you know, Kanye has said, that this man will literally hear a piece of music that he likes, walk around in the studio mumbling to himself for an hour, and then walk in there and say this song to music he's never heard before, first take, and it's done. You know what I mean? That's a genius.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when I was writing songs in my head, I was writing little passages at a time. I was writing a song a week. It took me a week to write a song like that. You know what I mean? And I could only do it when I was inspired to do it. You know, but you know, for someone like Jay-Z to be able to do some of the best written songs in the history of rap so consistently with such a high output over such a long period of time and keep the quality that high, there's a definite argument to be made that he's the best.
Yeah, because definitely, I mean, just in the terms of album output alone, he's one of the tops. But, you know, there's some people that have, like LL Cool J, has put out like 13 albums, but they weren't all good, you know? So, like, I mean, I kind of veered away from Jay-Z for a couple of years when he was getting a little more commercial there, in my opinion, and I didn't really want to hear that. But and going back, you know, and looking at it now, I can appreciate his whole body of work.
Yeah, and that's a great word to use for him, is his body of work. The thing is that what he learned, and everybody was struggling after Biggie and Pac died to kind of put the pieces of the rap world back together and try to figure out how to resolve the meeting place between being the respected rapper and being commercially successful. Very few people found a good way to figure that out, you know.
Yeah.
What Jay-Z did was that he made all on one album. He would make songs that were specifically for the radio setting or the club setting. And, you know, among those, that type of music
it's still the top songs of their time, you know. But also on that same album, he would give you masterpieces as well, you know. So the greatest example of that is, I think, is a song like "Big Pimpin'" is on the same song as "So" is on the same album as "So Ghetto." It's on the same album as, you know, "When It's Light," "When It's Hot," "It's Hot." You know, masterpieces.
Yeah.
That by anybody's standards are some of the greatest rapping that's ever happened in the history of the art form. You know what I mean? But on the same album as "Big Pimpin'," you know, and then on the and that. There's those on every single one of his albums, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something that's a way that he found to reconcile that problem, or that new obstacle, where a lot of people just failed miserably all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because people
a lot of people that they consider to be Jay-Z's rivals. I'm not going to say names, but if you think about who Jay-Z's perceived rivals have been, were a hot googly mess trying to figure that out. Whereas Jay-Z did it perfectly in my mind. Had commercially successful songs on the same album as masterpieces, and they all blend cohesively, and it's all him. He's probably the greatest.
Yeah. I wish Biggie were still alive, because I wonder if Biggie would have been able to do the same thing.
That's a great question. Yeah. I think that's something that we never consider. And when Jay-Z says, if I'm not better than Big, I'm the closest one. You know, who knows, you know, like who knows what really would have come, you know, that he didn't have opportunity to show us what he would have done on album 9, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, the only other rapper I can think of that's had a consistent career and a great body of work other than Jay-Z and that longevity, I mean, is Ice Cube. And I find that his name never comes up in these discussions.
Oh, he's one of my favorites. I think he comes up, I think, in I think that when he did have a really, really long and high output of amazing work, you know, not both in his music, in his group NWA, also in the people that he ghost wrote for, you know what I mean? And there definitely was a 10-year period where he was considered top 5 MC-wise, you know what I mean? I think since then, he's diversified what he does so much, you know what I mean? That he's in movies and he's in, you know, all these other things.
He's admitted saying that he's had his, like, good days and bad days, and his bad days with bad albums would be when he was focusing on the movies.
Yeah. I think that he's just expanded what he does, and his focus isn't on music as much anymore. You know what I mean? But I mean, he can't help but make something great on everything that he does. You know what I mean? Like, he still has his moments of greatness.
Yeah, I like Cube.
Yeah.
I like Cube, definitely. Man, that was awesome. 1 hour with Brother Ali. Have to cut it off there for today. The second part you'll be able to hear next week, and we also talked to BK1. So we got another hour of dope interview coming up. Brother Ali and BK1. Stay tuned to that. This is Chase March for Dope FM. Don't forget to check dopefm.cjb.net for all the best in hip hop, and chasemarch.com for the artist interview transcripts and a lot of other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. It was an honor, a definite honor, sitting with Brother Ali. Might be one of the coolest, smartest dudes I've ever met. And definitely was a big fan before, but even a bigger fan now. What an awesome show he put on at the Mod Club. Man, straight around, this has been amazing. So hope you're tuning in. Hope you're enjoying it. And I'll see you back here soon for part 2. Peace.